testimony yesterday, you really missed a blessing. Brother really brought it. It was just a wonderful, wonderful testimony that he brought forth. And what blessed me was that after he got through, his mother said, "That's my boy." I wanted to say mine too, but praise the Lord. But his daddy was there, so I said I didn't want to get Dick riled up. Yeah, but it was a wonderful, wonderful testimony. You know, and it's once a month, and, you know, it's people that come. There's no preaching, but it's praise and worship and sharing to other people what God has done in your life. That's what the testimony is about, how God has come into your life and has changed your life. So, yeah. I love you all, you know, and I want to thank all of you for praying for me and just all the wonderful things that you do for me. I just want you to know that. But today, I'm going to ask you to take a posture of reverence with me, that it be no walking around, no talking. And because, you know, when I pray, I have communion with God. And so, you know, what we're doing, and I'm asking you to agree with me in prayer, that what I pray that will come forth. Amen. In these baskets, people have put their request for prayer. I don't know what's in here. Nobody else knows what's in here, but God does. And if you have not put your prayer request in here, God already knows what your prayer request is. And we're going to agree with you. Whatever your prayer request is, you know, it might be that you are somebody that you know that are sick and you're struggling with whatever it might be, whatever it is that you need from God, we're going to agree with you on that. And I'm going to ask you to agree with me on when I go to the throne room. Father, we come before you this morning giving you all the glory and praise. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up another day. We thank you, Father God, for your mercy, your grace, your goodness, your kindness, your love, your compassion. We thank you for your correction and your conviction. Our praise will be continually in our mouths and in our hearts and our lives. We worship you, Lord, for your holiness and your righteousness. We will worship you, O Father God, in spirit and in truth. So as we come before you today, Lord, hear our prayers. And Lord, we know if you hear our prayers, you will answer our prayers. So Lord, we thank you beforehand. Before it even comes out of my mouth, we thank you, Father God, for hearing our prayers and answering our prayers. Lord, I lift up all the children. Lord, we pray, Father God, that you would just cover those children. We ask you, we commit them unto you to keep them from the snares and the traps of the enemy, Lord. We pray for the unborn this morning also. We pray for those, Father God, mothers and facility workers, oh Lord Jesus, thinking about murdering our babies. We ask that you move upon their hearts, oh Father God, that they would change their minds, that these babies, Father God, will come forth into the world because we know that you have a purpose for these children. So Lord, we stand in the gap for the unborn this morning and every morning. We pray for those who are in the hospital and those who might be in earshot of my voice that are sick this morning or injured. We ask, oh Father God, for the great physician to bring healing. We ask, oh Father God, that those who are in bondage of chains, whatever the chains of bondage might be, that we call upon the God of deliverance, that you would deliver those, Father God, who are going through whatever it might be that they're going through. Lord, we pray, Father God, traveling mercy for those who are traveling this morning, by land, by air, and by sea. Lord, I pray, Father God, for the family units, that you would strengthen the family units. Father God, if there's any breaches and disharmony and disunity within the families, oh Father, we just ask that you bring the families together. And marriages, oh Lord, we ask Father God to strengthen the marriage unit also. Lord, we pray, Father God, that we have ears to hear what you have to say today. Bring forth your truth and get me out of the way, Lord. You must increase and we must decrease. Lord, each and every day, Lord, we're asking you to increase that we may decrease. So, Lord, I pray, Father, be no distraction, that we will have ears to hear what you would have to say to us today, and that we won't walk out of here the way we walked in. I pray for the nation of Ukraine today also. Africa, Haiti, Israel, and this nation. We thank you for the greatest nation in the world that we live in. We thank you, Father God, for all the blessings and provisions that you have given us. But, Lord, we have to ask for forgiveness as a nation. We ask that you pour out your spirit upon this nation, O Father, that we would turn from our wicked ways and seek your face. We need revival in this nation. So, Lord, we thank you, Father God. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about the great love of God. How much God loves us. And we have no idea about the love of God. You know, the height, the breadth, the width of God. We have no idea about how much God loves us. So I want to give you, you know, a little bit today about how much God loves us. Because a lot of times we take it for granted, don't we? We take for granted how much God loves us. You know, I do a lot of marriage counseling and family counseling. And one of the things that I hear from a lot of the women and some of the children also, you know, I don't feel loved. They say they don't feel loved. They don't hear it. And so when I talk to the fathers or maybe the mothers, I say, well, why don't you tell your children or your spouses that you love them? Well, they know that I love them. They might do that, but they want to hear it too. Amen? They want to hear it too. So I'm going to give you today how much God loves you today. And so we need to let our family members and our loved ones to know how much we love them. And yes, we show how much we love them, but we need to hear how much we love each other. Amen. Greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friends. So we want to talk about the love of God today and how much he loves us. In the book of Romans 8, if you turn your Bibles to the book of Romans 8, please. Now I'm going to start at 8. This is one of my favorite, 8:28. When you get there, say amen. Need a few more amens. Isn't the weather beautiful? We've been waiting for this, haven't we? I don't know about you. But when the weather's good, the sun is shining, the temperature is good, it makes me feel so much better. I mean, every day is the day the Lord has made, and every day we should rejoice and be glad in it. But when it's like this, I rejoice a little more. I'm glad a little more. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love this weather. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this weather. You know, and I was looking out my back window this morning, and I was looking at the sunshine and the snow banks have melted and all of that type of stuff. And I saw a couple of our church members coming in. They saw me. I waved my hand. And one of my church members said, you know, it's going to get cold next week. I said, I don't want to hear that. She said, you might not want to hear it, but it's going to get cold next week. But praise the Lord. You know, we know that the good weather is coming. And it's going to stay for maybe a week or two. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you there? Romans 8:28. And we know, and we know that all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, whatever happened to you yesterday, what happened to you last week, whatever happened to you today or tomorrow, to know that all things work together for the good to everybody. Is that what it say? Let me read that again. That we know that all things work together for the good to everybody. Is that what it say? To them that love God. He's talking about us. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So he's saying whatever he allows in our life, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever he allows, he said he's going to turn it for the good. That's how much God loves us. Whatever he allows in our life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we all go through good, bad, and ugly, don't we? Storms in life, trials and tribulations in life. We all go through them. But he says, if you love me, I'm going to love you more and turn those for the good. I don't know about you, but I love that. When I got a hold of that, you know, and it really resonated in my spirit and in my, you know, understanding of what that truly meant was, whatever I go through, whatever storms, valleys, or tribulations, or persecutions I go through, God is going to turn it to the good. That's how much he loves us. You understand what I'm saying? You might be going through some sicknesses. You might be going through some problems with your children or your family. You might be going through some problems with the law. or whatever it might be. He said, if you love me, I'm going to love you more and turn it for the good. How good is that? Whatever that we go through in our life, he said, I love you so much that I'm going to turn it to the good. Have you ever thought about that? Well, you need to. Because when we think about how much God loves us, guess what? That makes us reciprocate the love to him. When you know that God loves us that much, we can't help but give it back to him. Amen? Now, when we'll go down to verse 35. Who should separate us from the love of Christ? Question mark. Who or what shall separate us from the love? Shall tribulations, shall distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or perilous, or sword? It is written, for thy sake that we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That don't sound too good, does it? That don't sound good at all. But wait a minute. He says over here in 28, to know. Even though, once again, it is written for thy sake that we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep going to slaughter, killed and going to slaughter, he said he's going to turn that around for his good. How good is that? You know, our God is better than good. Do you know that? Good is the enemy of best. Because our God is the best God. He's a great God. He's an awesome God. I don't use the word awesome on nobody else other than God. Now, when I go eat something, you know what I mean? It's good. It might be real good. It might be a great meal, but it's not awesome. Because there's none awesome but one, and his name is God. And God Almighty. He's an awesome God. We sang that song. We ain't singing it in quite a while, but we need to work that up. Our God is an awesome God. But it says, and then it says, for I am persuaded. Do you know what persuasion means? That I know that I know that I know. Not maybe not might not I guess. I am persuaded. There's no room for doubt. I am persuaded, he says, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear what it said? Let me read it again. I am persuaded. I know. Not maybe, not might. Not I think so. I am persuaded. I know that I know that I know. That's where we have to get, church. We have to be persuaded and know without a shadow of a doubt, regardless of what happens in our life. And once again, there's three type of people in the room. Y'all know that. Those who are in a trial, in a storm, that's going through stuff in your life. Those who are coming out of a trial, coming out of a storm, coming out of something in your life. And those who are about to go into a trial, go into a storm, and about to have stuff going through the life and don't know it yet. So once again, whatever that God allows, because nothing happens to us unless God allows it. A lot of times we don't understand why God allows things. Why God allows for our family members and loved ones to get sick. Why God allows, you know, for some of our family members and loved ones to die. Why did God allow for some of us to have sickness, you know, and all type of things of that nature there? Why God allows us to have financial problems from time to time? Why does God allow for me to be sad and down and depressed and all of these type of things? Why does God allow that? Because he has a purpose, because he loves you, because he said that all of that type of stuff that you can have, that he's going to turn it for the good because he loves you. Then he says that I am persuaded that not even death, not even life, not angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come. Ooh, let's stop there. Whatever's going on in your life right now, he's saying, present things. And some of us are going through some stuff. Amen. Some of us are going and there's different degrees of stuff that we're going through. But he says, not even what you're going through now or even things what you're going to go through. How good is that? How good is that? That's why that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. That blessed assurance that I'm part of the family of God. God is my father. I am his child. And he's going to look after me because he loves me so, so, so much. Do we think about that, church? When we're in our trials, when we're in our tribulations, when we're going through our different things, do we stop and say, wait a minute? God loves me. He allowed these things to happen for me. He has a greater purpose. I don't understand it. I don't like it. But I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to continue on to be committed to walk with him, to love him, to obey him, regardless of what he allows to happen in my life. Like I say, a lot of stuff we don't like, we don't understand, don't want it. A lot of things are hurtful, just uncomfortable, right? But yet, he says, let me tell you something. I love you so much that whatever you're going through now and whatever thing you're going through, and let me tell you something, no angel, no principality, nothing will separate or stop me from loving you. Whew. Nothing will stop me from loving you. You hear what I'm saying? Nothing. How good is that? We don't even have any comprehension of that. You know, because when somebody does something to us, say something that we don't like, or do something that we don't like for them to do to us, first thing we want to do is, oh, I love you. Or do we? You know we don't. No. But if we think about how much God loves us, even when we're unfaithful, he's faithful. Even when we're unfaithful, he is faithful. He says nothing will separate us from his love. When I got a hold of that here years ago, it transformed my life. Because, you know, I did a lot of dirt in my life. A lot of dirt in my life. And I thought that God could love nobody like me. All the things that I've done in my life. And after I got saved, I had shame. I felt condemned. I felt guilty. But when I got a hold of this, he said, Mr. Man, let me tell you something. There's nothing that you could ever do that I won't love you. I said, Lord, this is what I've been looking for. How can I not love you for what you're doing for me? How can I not serve you for how much you love me? How much I cannot give you my life because you've given me life eternal. You're not giving me what I deserve. Why? Because you love me, Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Every one of us is living in grace and mercy. Every one of us. And we need to remember that. If we keep that, that's why the word says, let not that word depart from you. Meditate on day and night. Meditate on the word. Meditate on the word how much God loves us day or night. Let it not depart from us. Because, oh, Slewfoot, the enemy, he wants to come and whisper in our ear, God don't love you. That's why you're sick. God don't love you. That's why your kids is acting crazy. God don't love you. That's why I cause your marriage is all messed up. That's a lie. That's a lie. God loves us. Matter of fact, did y'all read this again? Let me read this again for you. It says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how much God loves us. But remember what it says here, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. To them that love God. You see, a lot of times we want just free stuff. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless this mess, Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm sick. Oh, Lord, I'm in peril. Oh, Lord, my marriage, my family. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. So I've been waiting and standing back for you to start loving me. Because I love you so much. But once again, I need for you to start showing me more love. I'm going to love you regardless. But a lot of your circumstance, a lot of things that you're going through is not going to work together for the good right now. Because I'm not seeing the love. He says, if you love me, you do what? Keep my commandments. You obey me. You'll be committed to me. You'll be devoted to me. And I'm not talking about perfect, because none of us are perfect. None of us. We all make bad choices and bad decisions. We all do it. But what I'm talking about is being real with Jesus Christ. Being real with him. Having a personal relationship with him. Now let's go to the book of John. John 15. And this is where the Lord has given me. It's John 15. John 15, and I'm going to start in verse 1. I love this. This is one of my favorites, too. I love this. And for so many years, I used to read this. I taught it. I preached it. But I really didn't get the grasp of it. You know, and till the Holy Spirit illuminated this. These, you know, I am so thankful that, you know, God has given me an understanding, not a complete understanding. You know, I'm not going to completely understand God's word ever until I get to heaven. Down here, you know what I mean? We're pressing toward the mark. Down here, we're still learning, still maturing, you know, but I'm so thankful that as Brother Joey said, and I said all the time, I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I'm going to be, but I'm here now. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not where I used to be. And I'm not where I'm going to be, but I'm here now. And I'm so thankful for the here and now, what God has given me. And every day I want to have more and more. Because last year at this time, I had an understanding of God's word. But this year, I have an understanding of God's word a little bit better. And next year, if God tarries and don't come back, I'll have a better understanding of him next year than I have today. That excites me. That tickles my fancy. Because, because once again, when I first got saved, I got a hold of some of these scriptures and I said, well, praise the Lord, ask whatsoever in my name and it'll be done for you. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. I can get with that one. Not understanding the things that I wanted to ask for, it wasn't according to God's will. You see, it wasn't God's will for me to be asking all these crazy things that I was asking for. But I didn't know no better. You know, I didn't know any better. You know, all I got a hold of is that scripture there, and that's all I saw. I didn't go through none of the other stuff, you see. I just wanted that part there. You know, like the Chinese buffet. When you go to the Chinese buffet, you know, you go and you get a little of this kind of chicken, and a little of that kind of chicken, and that kind of chicken over there. You know what I mean? And you got all these different varieties of chicken, but the vegetables and things, you let them go. Huh? You get what you like and you keep in there what you don't like. But in the word of God, it ain't about picking and choosing. It's about the whole word of God. And that's what God is doing with me and with you also. Because I'm not the only one have taken these scriptures. You know what I mean? And didn't understand what they meant and start, you know, using these scriptures, but didn't understand what they meant. But now we're learning more and more and more and more about the scripture. That's why it's so important to get in God's word, to study God's word, to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word. But anyway, are we there? 15:1. I am. I love that I am. Do you know what he told Moses when he told him to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go? He says, Moses says, well, who shall I tell him that you are? He said, tell him I am. I am. That's all I want you to do. Tell him I am. I am what? I am everything. I am sovereign over everything. I'm in control over everything. That's who I am. That's what he said. He says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husband. So the I am is who? Jesus. And it says my Father is the husband. So Jesus is the vine keeper. And our Father is the one. No, I am the true vine and my Father is the husband. The husbandman is the one who has the vine, but Jesus is the keeper of the vine. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's what's going on with a lot of us. We're being pruned and purged. Do you know what that means? That means when there's something on there that's unfruitful, that's not right, that's stymieing your love, your commitment, your obedience to God, he said, he gonna snip it off. And you know, when you snip something off, that hurts a little bit, don't it? Yes. But he said he's doing that for your good. He's doing it for your good. So you can be more fruitful. So you can be more a mover and a shaker for the kingdom of God. So many times we have things around us and in us that is stymieing us, that's keeping us from being all that we can be for Jesus. It could be some of your friends, could be some of your relatives, could be some stuff that you're doing yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever it might be, God said, because I love you so much, I'm not going to let you continue on to be the way that you are. I'm going to cut off some stuff. I'm going to cut off. Yes, it's going to hurt you. But when you get to the other side, you will say, thank you, Jesus, for cutting it off. Thank you, Jesus, for taking them things out of me or from around me. I didn't like it, didn't understand, but I love it now because you did that because you love me. Oh, the love of Jesus, the love of God. You understand what I'm saying? This is a love letter. This whole word, this whole book is a love letter. And like I talked the other day, everybody likes to get a love letter. You get that love letter, you know what I mean? And you take it and you go by yourself and you turn the little light on and you start reading that word and you get to grinning and you get to tingling on the inside like, I love this love letter. I love them love letters. So anyway, it says that, verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. You are clean through the word which I have spoken. You are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. See, that word is a cleansing word. This word is not only for information, but more so for transformation. To transform you, to take that dirt, take all that filth and all that things that is not of God, to take it out of you. He says, now you are cleansed through the word which I have spoken unto you. And it says that, abide in me. I want to stop on that word abide, because that's what got me here the other day. As I was reading this, that one word abide has just stopped me. What does abiding mean? I'm glad you asked. Abiding is a verb. Do we know what a verb is? You remember back in school what a verb is? I'm glad some of y'all do. I had to look it up. What is a verb? You know what I mean? It's an action. It's something that you do. It propels you. It's something that you take action and doing, not saying, but doing. He says, abide in me, do in me. It means to, it's not a feeling, but it's an action. Not a feeling, but an action. It means to stay, remain, to stay, remain, abide, stay in me, remain in me. An intimate relationship with me. That's what I'm talking about. An intimate relationship with me. Brother Priest and Sister Priest, they abide with each other every day. They're staying. It's action what they do. They just don't sit up and look at each other and say, I love you. You love me. I love you too. Do you love me? I love you. Do you love me? No, no, no. They show each other that they love one another. Amen. You know, somebody just sit and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and don't provide for you, you know, and all of this kind of stuff. Well, you know, well, how much do you love me? I'm sitting up here hungry. Huh? It says, abide in me. And this is the good part. And I in you. That's how much God loves us. Did you see what happened? She just reached over and kissed him on his shoulder. She showed him action. Amen. The verb. Amen. Praise the Lord. They're going to the chicken place today. Did Larry kiss you too? Amen. Let me say something. Let me tell you something. You know, the Bible talks about a holy kiss. Do you know that? The Bible talks about a holy kiss. You know, back in the early days, men would greet each other with a holy kiss. And there's still some cultures that still do that. They will kiss each other on the cheeks or whatever. But and there's a culture today. They still do that. There is a culture that men kiss each other on the lips. A holy kiss. Amen. I mean, it's nothing strange about it. It ain't nothing strange about it. Okay? But that's something they take very, very literal to do that. I got some brothers, they come up to me. But I'm not there yet. I kind of... Yeah, I got a side cheek. You know, I'm not there yet, but I got some brothers that's what they do. They greet each other with a holy kiss on the mouth. And that shows respect and reverence. Like I said, I'm not there yet, but maybe one day. But y'all ain't got to worry about me doing that to you today. Okay? We're going to shake hands and we're going to hug. Now, I might kiss you on your cheek or on your forehead, give them some forehead sugar or something. You know, but praise the Lord, let's move on. But I just want to let y'all know that, just in case y'all see, you know, a couple of God-fearing brothers. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And it says that, abide in me and I in you. He said, if you abide in me, I will love you. I will stay in you. I will remain in you. I will have an intimate relationship with you. You see, what he's waiting to do is, he's waiting for us to take the first step. Just like the prodigal son. He went to a far country, spent all that he had, lived a disastrous life, to the point where all of his resources were gone. And this was a Jewish young man, come from a good stock. And it got to the point where he didn't have no money, no food, no friends, nothing. And so he went and started working with these pigs. Somebody let him work in the pig pen. And for a person of Judaism, that's a no-no. That's a big no-no. But he was so down, he went and worked in the pig and ate what the pig pens ate. He was hungry. He was hungry. But it wasn't until he was starving when it said came to himself. He says, my father has servants that's living better than me. He says, I'm gonna go back to my father. And he rehearsed all that he was gonna tell his father. See, you can be hungry, but until you starving. You know, I don't know. I don't think nobody in here has ever had a thing about starving. You might have been hungry before. But I don't know. I don't think nobody in here has ever come to the point of starvation. I know I haven't. I've been hungry. I've been real hungry before, you know, but I haven't been starving. Amen. But when you get to a point where you are at the end of the end of the end of the end of yourself, he says, then I came to myself. And he says, I'm going to go back to my father. And his father was waiting for him. You see, his father didn't go look for him, did he? No. See, that's the way our father, he's not one who's going to force you to do anything. But he said, if you turn and come to me, he said, I'm going to welcome you. I don't care what type of living that you have done. I don't care what kind of sins you have committed. He said, all I need to do is see you start turning toward me. And I got you. I got you. You hear what I'm saying? That's how much God loves us. And we should show the same love to others. Let me say that again. Once you see how much God loves us, has forgiven us, has blessed us. We should do that. Pass it on. And then he says, this is a good part. He says, abide in me and I in you. A branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine. You can, no more can you except you abide in me. The vine. The vine. Now, let me ask you this. How many have seen grapevines? Okay, okay. Amen, amen. Now, when you see a grapevine, what do you expect to get off the grapevine? Grapes. Huh? Grapes. Because it's a grapevine. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he's talking about us to be in the branches. So if we're the branches and Jesus is the vine, what should people expect to see off of us? Jesus, the fruit. Absolutely. Absolutely. If we are the branches, when people look at us and we say that we are abiding in Jesus, we're saying that we belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to us, people should be able to see some fruit that comes from Jesus. Amen? Just like when you see a grapevine, you don't go down there and look for peaches or bananas. It's a grapevine, and what comes on grapevines is grapes. And if you're in the vine of Jesus, what should come from us is some Jesus fruit. That's how you can tell where you are in this, in the faith. Examine yourself. What am I producing? Or what is Jesus producing something in me and out of me? Once again, we all are not perfect. We all have issues. We all have struggles. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. But one thing about it, if you're still doing the same thing this year than that you were doing last year, something wrong. Something wrong. But once again, it says, I am the vine and you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Bringeth forth much fruit. Listen to what he say now. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth stay with me. He that remains in me. He that has a personal relationship with me will bring forth much fruit. Much fruit. Not just a little fruit. Not a whole lot of fruit, but much fruit. Do you know, remember the parable of the sower? Some brought forth 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. That 100-fold is the much fruit. That's the much fruit. You know, now, as we go through processing, we might be in a 30% range. But after you're in a 30% range, you don't go back down to 25 or 20. And if you're in a 30% range, you don't stay at 30 for 3, 4, 5, 6 years. And then once you get to the 60, you know, you're more than the 30, right? But after you get 60, after a while, you start bearing more and more and more and more fruit till you get much fruit. 100%. You understand what I'm saying? That's how much God loves us. He will give us that increase. But we have to do our, once again, if any man, once again, if any man be in Christ, abide in Christ, he's what? The same? He's new. He's new. Not refurbished. Not refurbished. Not repaired. Not redirected. A new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. Those old things are being cut off and cut out of your life. Whatever it might be. Like I said, it might be friends. It could even be family members. It could be your own stinking thinking. Whatever you're going through. All things. It says that become new. Old things are passed away. And all things. Listen. All things become new. Not just some things. But it's a process. It's a process that we go through. Of becoming new. A process we go through of bearing more fruit and more fruit and more fruit. That's how much God loves us. That he will put within us to bear much fruit. not to stay the same. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to be like I was 10, 15, 20 years ago. I don't want to be like I was 10 years ago. I don't want to be like I was 5 years ago. I don't want to be like I was a year ago. I want to continue to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes, you know, I get on a plateau. You know, I'm moving in Christ, you know, I'm stepping up and I'm doing better, you know, than I was down there. And I'm stepping up. I'm doing better than I was down there. And I'm stepping up and I'm doing better than I was down there. So I'm good. Not knowing I got more steps. You see, that's when you settle for good. Remember I told you good is the enemy of best? See, God wants the best for us. Not just a good life, but the best life for us. A bearing much fruit. And then it says, I and him and the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Well, wait a minute. Before I came to Christ, I was working, I was doing this, I had that. You know what I mean? I was doing some stuff. You can't do nothing that pleases him, is what he's saying. You can't do nothing that pleases me. You might have all that time. You might have made millions of dollars. You got houses on every coast. You live in luxury and everything else, but you cannot do nothing for me. Not one thing. I'm so thankful that he loves me so much. Yet while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. He loved me before I loved him. You understand what I'm saying? He loved. And it says, listen to what it says. It says, for without me, you can do nothing. Let me give you a little illustration of that. Who has a knife? Anybody got a knife? A big one. I need a big knife. George, you got a big knife? Give me your knife and give me your hand. Stand up. Now, I'm going to take George's knife and I'm going to cut your hand off. Okay? Now, grab my hand. Grab my hand. With just one hand. Grab it. Okay, grab my hand. Do your fingers like this. If I cut your finger off, can you grab me? If I cut your hand off, can you grab me? Can you do your fingers like that? It's still your hand though, right? So why can't you do it? Because I took it. Because it's not a part of her anymore. You hear what I'm saying? It's still a hand, but it's severed. Can do nothing apart from the body. You understand what I'm saying? It's still a hand, but it can't do this. It can't grab me. Can't take this money I'm about in my pocket. Yeah, your hand is off, so you can't take the money. Praise the Lord. But do you get the picture of that? When you separate it from God, you can do nothing. And see, with her hand, you know, she goes and she helps people. She does different things that God has called her to do, you know. We're the mind of Christ, the eyes of Christ, the ears of Christ, mouth of Christ, the heart of Christ, hands of Christ, and the feet of Christ. But if it's cut off, it can't do nothing for Christ and nobody else. Abiding. We have to stay abiding in him. We have to stay in him. We have to every day. It's a daily process. Every day. Now listen to what he said. This is a good part too. One of my favorites. It says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather him and cast him to the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you should ask what you will, and it should be done unto you. See, I got a hold of that last part of that. I didn't get a hold of the A part of the scripture. The A part, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. See, I heard all I saw and God was, you should ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. You see, that's all I saw. Do you know a lot of times, you know, when you're talking to your kids and maybe your spouse, and they have selective hearing? They hear what they want to hear. Amen? Hear what they want to hear. But we got to hear it all. It says, if you abide in me, if you stay in me, if you remain in me, if you have an intimate relationship with me, he said, you could ask what you will. Ask what you will. Whatever your will is. But if you're abiding in him and he's abiding in you, his will is your will. Do you know that? Let me say that again. If we're abiding in him, staying in him, having an intimate relationship in him, your will is the same as his will. So you're not going to be asked for nothing all crazy like I did. Because I didn't understand. I didn't get the first part of it. See, I only got what I wanted to get. But that abiding, he said, if you abide in me and I will abide in you and you ask whatever you will, because whatever you will ask is something that I have already put in you. I want to know more of you, Lord. I want to be able to understand your scriptures better, Lord. I want to have a deeper commitment, Lord. I want to have a better intimate relationship with you, Lord. I want to be able to love everybody, Lord, regardless of who they are, what they have done. I'm going to love them, Lord. I'm going to be there for people, Lord. That's God's will. The first one is what? To love the Lord thy God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind. And the second one is what? To love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, that's the will of God. That's the will of God. And then it says, herein is my Father glorified that you may bear, here we go again, much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. See, we want to jump up and be a disciple of Christ without first abiding in him, without first knowing him intimately, about first having a commitment and a love for him. That's what's wrong with the universal church today, a lack of love and commitment. You commit it when you want something. You commit it when you're in trouble. But after that passes, you forget it. Thank you, sister. You forget it. And then it says this here. This is one of my favorites. As the Father has loved me. Ooh, now listen to this. If you don't hear nothing else I said today, hear this. As the Father has loved me, and you know God loves his son. You know that, right? God loved Jesus. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So as God loves his son loves us like the Father loves him. How good is that, church? How good is that, church? See, once you get that down in you, how much God loves you, it will change you. Because we all are looking for that love. We all, from the time you were created, God has put something in us to look for that love. But so many times we look for it in the wrong places. But when you come and abide yourself in him and he abides in you, that love, we will start saturating and feeling that love. We will never know the height, the depth, or the width, or the width of his love. But what we can do, what we can have is what we can have. And what we have, we need to turn it back over. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you and continue my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Here we go. If you keep my commandments, if you obey me, if you're committed to me, he says, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There we go again. The love for the Son is the same love that God has for us. You can't beat that. Now, listen, this is the God of the universe and beyond. You know, they got this new telescope that they say that they see all these other universes and all these galaxies and all these that they've never seen before. It makes me want to throw my shoe at the TV when I hear them talk about the Big Bang. And that's the Big Bang, you know, it just makes me sick. And these are supposed to be educated people talking about the Big Bang. But even if it was a Big Bang, God made it bang. He banged it. Yes, absolutely. You know, but so many, and they're teaching our children this stuff. Do you know that? That's why it's so important for us to teach our children in the way they should go. Amen. But he says, if you keep my commandments, I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that you might have joy, that my joy, not your joy, not the pastor's joy, not your wife's joy, but that my joy might be full. These things I have spoken to you that my joy might remain in you. Remain in you. Remain. What does it mean to remain in you? To stay in you. Not just when you feel good. Not just when things are going good for you. Not when you have good health and your family's doing well. Not when the government is going to in a hand basket. Not when the world is going through wars and rumors of wars. Not when all of these things are going on. Mass shootings, our children are being killed, people are being killed. He says, if you stay in me, he said, my joy. Now, we don't condone none of that. But it happens every day, and it's going to happen more and more. But he says, if you remain in me, you will have joy. You will have joy. Yes, we understand that these things are happening. Yes, they're horrific. Yes, they are. But we're not going to let that steal our joy. You hear what I'm saying? We're not going to let that steal our joy. Because if we don't have joy, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have bitterness. You're going to have fear. You're going to have confusion. You're going to have all of that type of stuff that's going on within us. And God says, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but the power of love and a sound mind. Confusion is not of God. Because once again, we know that God loves us. So who should we fear? I just talked about it. Angels, principalities, death, life, nothing. Because God loves us. So our joy shall remain. You know, I love that. Now, there's different times in my life when I get caught out there. You know what I mean? Every now and then I get caught out there. But the Holy Ghost reels me back in. He said, you ain't going to stay out there. You ain't going to continue to live out there and the sky is falling. Oh, everything's wrong. No. I got joy because Jesus loves me. I got joy because I'm one of his children. I got joy because I have a bright future. You understand what I'm saying? I got a bright future, and so do you. So do you. That's why we should have joy. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And he says, let me tell you something. He let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for some of y'all. You put your name in there. I go to prepare a place for Olivia. I go to prepare a place for Terrence. I go to prepare a place for, put your name in there. Make it intimate. That's abiding. And then this, and if I go to prepare a place for you, and this is a real good part, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, you will be also. You talking about joy. You talking about remaining joy, to know that you know that you know. If you have questions about your salvation, that's not joy. That's not joy. If you have questions, am I going to go to hell? How are you going to be joyful with that? Maybe Mike. I don't know. Hope so. No. Know that you know that you know that Jesus loves you and he loves you. He said, where I am, you will be also. He said, I will come and get you. We don't know when he's coming to get us. You know, we don't know when he's coming to get us. It could be in 5 minutes. Could be in 5 hours, 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years. Don't know. But one thing's sure, he is coming. That's what gives me real joy. That gives me real joy. To know that he's coming again. And where he is, I will be also. And guess what? You will too if you are abiding in him. That word abiding in him. How do we abide? First of all, you got to become a child of God. The Bible said you must be born again. You must be born again. You know, I love to read these scriptures to my Catholic friends. I got some good Catholic friends. I got some relatives that are Catholic too, you know. And I said, you know, in your Bible, it says the same thing it is in my Bible. I know y'all got a little extra apocryphies and things in your Bible. But your Bible says a man must be born again. So you, first thing abiding is you must be born again. You should love the Lord with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. You should love your neighbor as you love yourself. You should trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not only what you think or what you understand or what your mama or daddy would think. To trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways and everything that you're doing, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the sickness. To acknowledge him in all that way. And he would do what? He would direct your paths. Paths. Amen. That's how much he loves us. He would direct the direction of your life. He would direct you to get on that good path. Amen. And that good path leads to eternal life with Jesus Christ. No more hunger, no more sorrow, no more pain, no none of that. For eternity. For eternity. We don't have no conception of eternity. But for eternity. How good is that? That's how much God loves you. And how much God loves me. And I'm almost done with you. And it says that that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my suggestion. This is what I hope you'll do. He said, this is my commandment. It's a must. Just like a man must be born again. You must love one another. We must love one another. Now, yes, we have disagreements. Yes, we have, you know, different, you know, things. Yes, people get on our nerves. Yes, you know what I mean? There's things like that. But once again, your child, when they do things that are not right, do you fall out of love with them? You're going to love them. You don't like what they're doing. But you're always going to love them. It's the same thing with our God. Let me share a little story that I heard from a teaching that I heard here a while ago. I thought it was really, really good, you know. And it's about a cave, got a big cave, you know. And the cave, you know, would out every day at sunset, the cave would look at the sunset, and the sun would set every day. So one day the cave said to the sunset, I see, you know, how bright you are. You know, I see how shiny you are. But I want to invite you into my house where it's total darkness. I want you to see, you know, what's in my house. Total darkness. I see your house that is all shiny and bright and everything. So I want you, son, to come into my house and see the darkness in my house. So the son says, well, okay, because I've been noticing you've been coming and watching me as I go down. So I'm going to do that for you. Cave, dark cave. So the son got to the mouth of the cave, and the darkness stood back and said, see this here? See all the darkness? And the son looked around and said, where's the darkness? And he said, oh, you got to go deeper. You got to go deeper in the cave because it's real dark down there. So the son started going deeper and deeper into the cave. And he got down there and he looked around. He said, well, where's the darkness? And so the cave said, well, it was here before. I've been living in darkness all this time. But when you came in, son, the darkness is gone. Huh? When you came in, son, the darkness is gone. And that's what God wants to do with us. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And if you're in me, that light of me is in you too. So when you walk in dark places, there should be no darkness when you walk in. Amen? When you walk in these places, wherever it might be some of your family's house, some of your friends' houses, or wherever it might be, where there's darkness. When you walk in, it should be illumination. Just like it was there. The darkness couldn't believe it. Like, it's been pitch black here, but I don't understand. And the son said, wherever I go, the darkness has to leave. And that's where it should be with each and every one of us. The darkness has to leave. Remember I told y'all that years ago that we used to rent these, when you have big fights and stuff, you know, you can pay-per-view. And, you know, we love sports. So we used to chip in and get pay-per-view, and we would go and we watch the fights or whatever it might be. And I noticed that they were a little uncomfortable when I walked in. A little uncomfortable when I walked in. And I noticed that, you know, please ladies, don't take this wrong. But you know, when you ladies are out somewhere and one of you get up and go to the bathroom, two or three others get up and go to the bathroom. I don't understand why, but y'all do. Y'all know that. But I've noticed that when one said, oh, I got to use the bathroom, three or four of them would get up and they'd go too. So I'm sitting up there like, you know, and I know what they're going to do. I know what they're going to do. You understand what I'm saying? And so when I walk in, you know, they would be a little convicted and they wouldn't do it when I was there. But they would like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. Oh, me too. Well, me too. And me too. And so it got to be when we have these big fights or whatever, I wouldn't get no invites. They wouldn't invite me anymore. And I was hurt behind that. You know what I mean? Because these are people that I've known for a long time and this, that, and other. But they wouldn't invite me anymore. And the reason they didn't invite me anymore, because they wanted to stay in that darkness. You see? They wanted to stay in that darkness. So if they didn't invite me, they can go do what they wanted to do while the fight was going on. But when I was there, they had enough respect for me. That's just like, you know, when you go knock on somebody's door and you've been standing outside the door for about 5 or 10 minutes and you've been hearing what's going on inside the house and they open the door. Oh, praise the Lord, Pastor. I done heard you cuss each other out. I done heard all that foul language. But when I walk in the house, oh, praise the Lord, Pastor. We were just reading scriptures. I don't know what scripture you're reading. Ain't the ones that I read. But, and I'm sure it's like that with some of y'all too. When you walk into places, you know, your workplaces where they're using all that foul language, they're making all them dirty jokes or whatever, you know, and they know that you, that son is in you, that you're a Christian, that you're a real Christian. You don't laugh at their dirty jokes. You don't use that language. You do the right thing. Yes. So, you know, we all need to walk in them dark places because we are living in a dark world. And they need some light. They need some light. Did everybody understand what I said here today? If you abide in me, I'll abide in you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's how much God loves us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I'm a part of Christ's body. I have not been severed because I can't do nothing apart from Christ that's pleasing unto God. Not one thing. And I can go on and on and on and on with these love letters to tell you how much he loves us. Get into the love letter book and read how much he loves. The Psalms. Oh, I love the Psalms. Whenever I'm going through some stuff or whatever, I grab my Bible and start going through them Psalms. Oh, Matter of fact, let's go to Psalms 1. Let's go to Psalms 1. Well, I feel good this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 1. We'll probably go to Psalms 1 all the way through 150. Are we there? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's how we abide in him. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. That's another way of abiding in him. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's abiding in him. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's abiding in him. And in his law doeth he meditate day and night. That's abiding in him. He should be like a tree. He said, after you've done all this abiding in me, let me tell you what you're going to get. You should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit. There we go with that fruit. In his season, his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever. Do you hear that? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God loves. That's how we abide in him. We get real with him, church. That's. I don't know about you, but I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning, and I was about ready to fall down before I got up here. But I tell you, I feel good this morning. I'm ready to maybe do some. No, I ain't going to do that. I was going to say jogging. I ain't going to do no jogging. But I'm full of joy. I'm full of joy. I'm full of peace. I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Because he first loved you. Father, we come before you today, giving you honor, glory, and praise. I want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for your love letter. As we've gone through here today, Lord Jesus, this is just a few pages of your love letter. I pray, Father God, that as we go through our day and our night, oh, Father God, we will get in and we will read more of how much you loved us. But not only will we read it, not only be hearers, but Lord, it will be imparted within us. Let us abide in you, Father God, because we need you to abide in us. So Lord, as we go through our days and our nights, oh Father God, let us more and more want more and more of you. Your word says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So Lord, we need to be filled each and every day. So Lord, I pray, Father God, travel in mercy for everybody going home today. Let us understand and remember and retain and apply this word, oh Father God, of abiding in you and you abiding in us and us loving one another. And I pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, the altar will be open. And I want to say thank you. If anybody has not abided in